Congress is the holder of the purse, and we've been hearing a lot about that recently. The sequester, a possible partial government shutdown, the looming debt ceiling. And really, there are no signals from the Democrats or the Republicans that anyone intends to budge from their positions. Joining us to talk about that is former Democratic Michigan Congressman Bob Carr, who is now with Campaign to Fix the Debt. First, tell me a little about Campaign to Fix the Debt. What is the group? Who are the members?
Well, the group is basic purpose is to try to long-term focus on debt and deficit reduction issues. Part of the problem, as you outlined in your intro there, is that we lurch from crisis to crisis. And this group is put together to look at the longer term and try to get us over these speed bumps and keep our focus on deficit and debt reduction.
And who are the members?
The group is made up of average citizens throughout the country. We have a Congressional Leadership Council, which is made up primarily of over 100 former Republican and Democratic members of the House and Senate who want us to focus on this issue.
Are these former members of Congress, are they mostly fiscal hawks, or how do you describe the political spectrum?
Well, I think they're across the spectrum, basically. Needless to say, I think many of them are moderates. They avoid the extremes. We're people who want to get to a compromise. There isn't everything that everyone is going to be happy with, but we do need to focus on the goal and not get lost in the skirmishes along the way.
So clearly you have some insight into these issues. You spent some time in Congress with your other colleagues. What are you and your group going to do to nudge members of Congress and the president toward getting the United States government on more stable financial ground?
Well, in terms of content, we're rallying really around the Bowles-Simpson architecture. A well-known group of people came together, under the aegis of the President of the United States. Unfortunately, he didn't endorse their product, but they came together across the aisle, across a broad spectrum of political thought, to try to forge a reasonable compromise on taxation and spending and enhanced deficit reduction. So we're really in support of that architecture, although, you know, like any good politicians, we're willing to accept changes and modifications, as Bowles and Simpson themselves are.
We should remind everybody that was a bipartisan task force that was
exactly
designed to take on these bigger issues that you're talking about, not
that's
these
right.
Short-term issues.
That forms the architecture of the content we'd like to see in terms of a compromise. But then more tactically along the way, we're trying to mobilize public opinion. We're going to have a fly-in this fall where members of Fix the Debt from across the country will come to Washington and visit with their representatives and senators to try to urge people to come together and make a deal. Let's make a deal is what it's all about. Let's try to fix this problem by making a deal that will be long-term, that will guard us against deficits and a debt structure in the long term that's going to threaten our economy.
Let's talk about some of the more immediate threats. The current continuing resolution, which funds the federal government's day-to-day operations, we could soon see a partial government shutdown if it's not renewed. Some members of Congress, mostly Tea Party members, say we should shut down the government if it helps make the point that the Affordable Care Act should be defunded. Is there a solution to this short-term standoff?
Well, I think it's going to be who's going to blink first, and I think they'll ultimately blink first, because the fact of the matter is they're in goal conflict right now. They want to reduce spending, and they want to get rid of Obamacare. But number one, Obamacare is the law. It isn't going to be gotten rid of just because you try to starve it for money. And the other aspect of this is that shutting down the government actually costs more money. That is not a cost saving. Even if you wanted to eliminate government, it costs money to get rid of government and shut it down. So they've got tremendous goal conflict in this Tea Party group, and hopefully they'll come to their senses.
There's the more serious vote on the debt ceiling that's coming up. Not raising it would mean the U.S. would default on payments. It could further hurt the credit rating. Most observers think that will not happen, but at this point you have to wonder if Congress is like a train running down the track with no brakes. What would be the consequences?
Well, of course, we'd have everything from a global economic meltdown to a hiccup. The credit rating of the U.S. government is what it is. It isn't really rated by these Standard & Poor's and Fitch and the rest of them on Wall Street. I mean, our credit rating is pretty darn good. But if we do shake the confidence of investors around the globe in our economy, in the value of the dollar, it could have global repercussions, not just domestic repercussions. We're in a global economy now, and we can't mess with that. But the fact of the matter is, we have to pay our bills. There's a whole host of things that we've bought in the past that maybe people today, thinking back on it in hindsight, would rather not have purchased. But by golly, if we've purchased them, we've purchased them, and we better pay for them. Now, the debt ceiling really is a vote that should not even be taken. The debt of the country is the accumulation of spending and taxes and whatever's left over, surplus, or usually a deficit, that Congress has already embedded. Putting this even to a vote is ridiculous.
We were told by the Obama administration that the sequester would damage many of the government services on which we rely. And I don't think many people have noticed. There are a few cases or instances that you could give. What's happened so far? What could happen?
Well, we saw that some of them were more publicized, like airport and the FAA and air traffic control and a few other things. So Congress quickly moved to exempt them from or give them relief from the sequester. Ironically, of course, members of Congress board an airplane virtually every week to go to their home district, so it was very convenient for their own operation. it caught not only the public's attention, but it caught Congress's attention that strict across the board, including the FAA, just wouldn't work. There have been a few other minor carve-outs, but, there's a lot that government does that is we count on, we rely on it. It makes our economy run smoother, makes our lives better, but are largely invisible because they protect us from problems, say food safety, for example, or drug safety. These are things that are going on every single day, and we don't see them, and we count on them to be going on because when we go to the drugstore, we go to the grocery store, we want a safe and effective supply of food and drugs if we need them. Part of the problem is in our society, sometimes what isn't apparent isn't real. So it's very easy to make government the big boogeyman that's taking all of our money and we never know where it's going. And I think part of the problem is that people in office, the president, Congress, even those of us who are politically aware, don't do enough to remind people of the things that government does for us each and every day and how valuable they are to our economy and our quality of life.
You mentioned Simpson-Bowles, and you say the group Campaign to Fix the Debt is in favor of many of the reforms in there. It was a combination of tax reform and a reduction in entitlements as well as many, many, many other things. What's going to make sense? What's practical in this Congress?
Well, it's very hard to say what they're going to figure out. Now, I think we're going to make some progress on tax reform. At least there's some hope. Congressman Dave Camp from our own state of Michigan, a good friend of mine, is the chair of the Ways and Means Committee, and he's joined there by another great friend of mine from Michigan, Sandra Levin, who's the ranking member. Michigan is in a key position with regard to taxation because taxation starts in the House, it starts in the Ways and Means Committee, and the top two leaders of that committee are from Michigan. So we have a real special reason to get behind these two gentlemen. And then on the Senate side, it's Max Baucus and Orrin Hatch, also two good friends of mine. I was elected with Max. And Max Baucus and Dave Camp are combining together to try to advance a comprehensive tax reform this fall, one that will reduce a lot of tax expenditures, reduce a lot of wasteful and unnecessary loopholes that have been carved out over the years as various special interest groups have tried to seek advantage in the tax code. And they've gone with a clean sheet of paper and tried to rebuild the tax code And hopefully we'll have some of that will be on the House and Senate floor this fall. So we're watching that very carefully. We want to support their good efforts, because hopefully it will lower the marginal rates, but close loopholes and also create more equity and fairness, and also raise some revenue. Now, on the spending side, you know, there are things that the government can cut back on, if only because we want to modernize our spending. Some of our spending is out of date because it assumes conditions or technologies that no longer exist. We just want to modernize the spending and make it more rational, and do it by program by program, not this meat axe across the board kind of cutting, which really hurts.
Bob Carr is a former Democratic Michigan congressman who is with Campaign to Fix the Debt. Congressman Carr, thanks for the time.
Thank you for speaking with me, and have a good day.